In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A dear faithful, back in the mid-70s, there was a British rock band that came out with a song that was entitled, I Love Rock and Roll. And the subject of this sermon is why I hate rock and roll. And I hate rock and roll, not with my lower nature, but with my higher nature, because no human person can hate rock with their lower nature. Rock and roll is very, very appealing to us at the level of our senses and our emotions. And it's only with our intellect and will that we're able to make this conscious decision that I don't like rock and roll. And also, I reclaim with the grace of God. The reason why my mind and my will, therefore, but not my lower nature, have an aversion for rock and roll is simple. It's toxic for our souls. I'm not saying that listening to rock and roll is necessarily a sin in itself. Sometimes it certainly is a sin. But it's mainly that rock and roll is permeated with a spirit of sin. It has a loving and committed relationship with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this makes it very dangerous for our soul. Is it possible for us as human beings to live our lives without music? Enjoying music is simply part of being a human being. And everybody's interested in the music of their times. It's just one of the characteristics, the unfortunate characteristics of our times, that the music of our culture today is trash. Our culture is in the gutter, it's in the toilet, and the music that we're being offered is really bad. And it's really hard for us, living in the 21st century or growing up as I did in the late 20th century, it's really hard for us to say, I don't want to be a part of sort of the musical atmosphere in which my world dwells. Some of us have learned to love rock and roll from our parents who played their favorite songs when we were growing up and encouraged us to appreciate and love those same songs. Some of us have simply checked out the current artists of our time and gotten to know those artists, listened to those artists, bought their music on iTunes or whatever, and listen to their songs repetitively, and been able to sing along with those songs, and therefore developed a strong attachment to those songs. And then, of course, we go on listening to those songs for the rest of our lives, and we refer back to them even like in our 50s and 60s, we're listening to the same old songs that we grew up listening to. Well, listening to rock music is extremely common, even among Catholics. And because it's a danger for our souls, I would like to explain during the sermon why we should remove it from our lives. Firstly, why it's a danger. Secondly, the attitude we should have towards it. And thirdly, what we can do to replace it. So, rock and roll is a danger to our soul because it is music that is intrinsically disordered. Composers, when they compose a song, they get to decide the nature of the musical content. How am I going to craft this song? What sort of musical elements am I going to put in it? And music should have a proper order. I mean, there's a proper way to arrange music such that it's ordered, and there's a way to arrange music such that it's disordered. And rock music is disordered by its very nature. It turns us upside down as human beings when we listen to it because of its disordered nature. Ordered music makes sure that when you listen to it, your emotions are subordinated to your mind and your will, that you still have control of your higher faculties. The quality of the music in itself is it produces an effect in you. All music produces an effect when we listen to it that we cannot help. It's just automatic because we're human beings. If I'm listening to a piece of music, it's going to have an effect on me. What is the effect going to be? Depends on the musical content. If the musical content is such that the primary and almost exclusive element of the music is rhythm, it's a driving rhythm, and meanwhile, what we call the melody, which appeals to our minds, is practically non-existent, and also the harmony, the chords that exist in the music that blend with the melodic line, that is also almost non-existent. If that's the nature of the music, it's almost exclusively a driving rhythm, then that music is going to push us to be out of control with our emotions. It's just by the very nature of the music. And someone might say to me, well, Father, I get very emotional when I listen to the Star Spangled Banner, or when I listen to Gregorian chant or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not saying that getting emotional when you're hearing music is bad. What I'm saying is it's bad when the music is designed to make your emotions go out of control without any subordination to your higher faculties. That the only thing that's being appealed to you is your lower nature. Anything in our life that is trying to excite our lower nature to the exclusion of our mind and our will is toxic for us, is not good for us. And that's the very nature of rock. That's what makes rock music be rock music, is that its main and almost exclusively musical component is the driving beat. And that's why what I'm talking about today does not just apply to classical rock or pop rock or heavy metal or whatever. It applies to any music where the driving beat is the primary and almost exclusively musical element in that piece, in that composition. So modern country music, so-called K-pop music, rap music, these are examples of genres that while they may not be explicitly called rock music, yet they have the primary characteristic of rock, which is that driving rhythm. So bottom line is rock and roll is purposely designed to excite your emotions by the dominant beat and to have your emotions just run wild. The more it's able to do that, the more it has succeeded in being what it is. What sort of emotions does it excite in people? Well, I mean, really all the emotions that we're familiar with in being human beings. Hate, desire, rebellion, lust, envy, revenge, all the emotions, all of the top 10 emotions that wage war against our high nature in ourselves. So what can make rock and roll so appealing to people, and what does make it so appealing to it, is precisely because it has this power. It has the power to evoke an emotion. So if I want a certain type of emotion, then it's easy for me to go to a particular piece of music that I know will help me, will assist me, that will produce, will flip that emotional switch in me. So if I'm angry at somebody who has betrayed me and I want revenge, I'm going to listen to this song by Metallica or something that I know is going to like fuel my rage and help me feel that rage. If I'm lusting after someone, and there's thousands of rock songs out there. I think of a song that was just blaring everywhere when I was growing up, which one of the main lines was that I'm about to lose control and I think I like it. You know, it's a very sensual song, just glorifying the uncontrolled lust. If someone is sad and they want to have a pity party, they want to feel sorry for themselves, they put on a sad song. And of course, sad songs say so much. And so you just keep playing them over and over to confirm you in your sad state. When rock and roll is playing, it's not a time for thinking and reflecting. It's a time for emoting and just letting the emotions go. Rock and roll does for the emotions what caffeine does for our brain activity. It's the Red Bull for our emotions. And if you're wondering why rock music has such a strong smell, of sin, such a close relation to sin, why it's full of lust, rage, angst, and so on. It's simply this. It is that sin is about letting our emotions run wild. What leads us to commit sins is when we are not in control of ourselves. And when our emotions are just raging, and we're not making the effort to get ourselves under control and behave rationally, we are very likely to sin when we're in an emotional state. Most likely to sin when we're in an emotional state. Serving God, in many respects, is about getting ourselves under control, getting our emotions under control. That's why we as Catholics, when we speak of occasions of sin, we try to avoid occasions of sin. We try to avoid those situations where we know we are going to be provoked to an intense emotional state because we fear that. We fear that intense emotional state is going to make us forget our Catholic identity, forget our need to serve our Lord, and make us behave in ways that later we're going to regret. This is why it's often shocking to take even a little peek into the lyrics of rock songs or the lives of rock singers, the music videos they produce, because they're just so scandalous. They're just all about losing control. You probably know that the ultimate origin of rock music is in like shamanistic rituals, like the rituals of pagans, where they develop these certain rhythmical patterns that would help them like lose their senses in some ritual that they developed. Now that's been exported to the Western world, it's become popularized, it's become mainstream. For the typical musical content for someone living in the Western world today is derived from shamanistic music that helps you just like lose yourself in your emotions. Perhaps a famous song by AC/DC sums it up best in regards to this relation between rock and roll and sin. Living easy, loving free, season ticket on a one-way ride, I'm on the highway to hell. So a Catholic looking squarely at the nature of rock and roll, at its spirit, at the effect that objectively it has upon us, that it's seeks to be out of control, to respect nothing, to rebel against everything. A Catholic looking objectively at it has to say, as I'm saying today, that it's an occasion of sin. Just listening to it is an occasion of sin. And we try to, as Catholics, we want to avoid sin. We want to avoid those situations where we might be led to sin. So we don't go to the beach. We try to avoid going to the beach because there people are practically naked. And if I'm there and I'm looking at these people, then I'm going to be provoked to lust. So I don't go to the beach. And if I'm listening to rock and roll, I'm going to be provoked to rage or lust or hatred or whatever. Then I don't want to be provoked to those things. So I don't listen to it. Well, Father, does that mean like the only music I can listen to is Gregorian chant? Because that would be a really boring life. I just like don't want to listen to Gregorian chant 24/7 for the rest of my life. Of course not. Of course it doesn't mean that the only thing you can listen to is Gregorian chant. I hope you appreciate Gregorian chant. But there's innumerable pieces of music out there that are not disordered. That are not disordered pieces of music where the primary and almost exclusively musical element is the driving beat. There's classical music, of course, folk music. There's a lot of folk music. There's lots of instrumental music. The earlier music of the 1900s, like big band or certain oldies and so on. There's tons of music out there that is acceptable music where you have proper harmonization, where there is an actual melodic line, and music that is wholesome to listen to. There was actually music before rock came along. It existed. Yeah, it still exists. It's still out there. And so while it's necessary for us, it's not necessary for us to listen to holy music all the time. There is acceptable secular music. I do want to point out that it's not uncommon with Catholics that they're far more able to sing secular songs, far more familiar with secular songs and able to sing along with secular songs often than Catholic songs, than Gregorian chant, you know, like Kyrie 11 or, you know, Kyrie 1 of Easter. And we have to ask ourselves, how many secular songs do I know and can I sing along with compared to how many Catholic songs or how many chants, Gregorian chants, can I sing along with? So we really live, it's kind of unfortunate, it makes it difficult for us that we live in an age that has so much trashy music. But at the same time, it is fortunate that we have so much access to music than as opposed to times past. We have all this music, this incredible music, at our fingertips. You can look up any song of any genre, practically any time period, and find it and play it if you want to. So while we have to make a stronger effort to avoid the toxic music of our time, we also have this great opportunity to really choose what music we want to listen to. It's all there for us. We're in total control of what we listen to. So if we listen to bad music in the past, we don't have to keep listening to it. We can switch. There's plenty of other things out there. We can make a willful choice to cultivate a taste for better music than what we've listened to. I mean, it's easy to do. We can just focus our attention. Say, I want to be interested in this genre of music. Let me check this genre, this type of music out, or this particular artist or composer out, and learn their music and learn to appreciate it. And there's actually a lot more to appreciate in music that is more substantial than just a driving beat with the same old chord being repeated over and over again. So, my dear faithful, in today's epistle, St. Paul exhorts the Ephesians to live wisely. He encourages them not to do the works of darkness that was so common in the pagan times in which they were living, in which, of course, are also very common now. We've reverted back to paganism. Instead, he says to them, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Music is an extremely important part of our human existence, but for the good or for the bad, according to the choices we make about it. So let us make sure that the music we choose to listen to leads us towards God and not towards sin, that it's not an occasion of sin, rather it actually elevates our soul instead of dragging us down to wallow in our passions. Let's make sure that the music we listen to is not leading us on a highway to hell, but rather is leading us towards heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.